So, while we're having a few little technical changes, I just want to say thank you once again.
Amen.
And you know, I always have the privilege and the honor to introduce the speaker of the hour. And so many times, that's our beloved apostle. And in her absence, this week, we are continuing a series that started last week as I was able to minister on knowing your position. And that series on position is going to be followed up by a woman and very close with. We've been able to pray with, walk with, serve with. I'm honored to stand beside. I'm honored to fall with. I'm honored to stand back up with. I'm honored to push through our circumstances. I'm honored to call her my wife.
Amen.
My beloved, as Apostle says, she always says beloved, but she my beloved.
Yes.
She
mine.
She mine. Yes. She mine. Yes. Back looking like, nah, she mine, but she mine. But I thank God for her. I've seen her pray through her tears. I've seen her push through her pain. Mm-hmm. And I've seen her pray in the midst of it all. And with that, it's an honor to do so beside with her and continue. So I'm just praying for many, many more years and opportunities to celebrate life with her and to serve alongside her and to walk as pastors, as associate pastors of New Vision for Life Church. So it's my honor to introduce to you Associate Pastor Tabika Cole.
Yeah. All right, Minister Kyle, I need you to shift the atmosphere.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Kyle. I hope you all enjoyed that.
Amen. Amen.
That was some peace.
Amen.
Some... Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning to New Vision. Good morning to your, to those that are here. Good morning to those that are online. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Yes, it's freezing outside, but you made your way here. So to God, we will pray for all of that. I'm happy to have my Chris and Liz and my grandkids here today. God be the glory. My heart is happy. My heart is happy. CJ is back there smiling at Atara right now. But thank you, family. Thank you for your support. Thank you, Vision, for your support.
Yes, yes, ma'am. You two over there.
Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for another day. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord God, for friends and family, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for a love like none other, a love like yours, a love that would never change, a love that would never leave, a love that would never disappoint, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for how you love us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for how you care for us, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for how you protect us from things seen and unseen, Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, God, we give you praise, for there is none like you, Lord God. And in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tribulations, oh God, in the midst of our storms, Father, you are there in the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. We may not see God, but your presence is with us in the name of the Lord. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry, because your promises are yes and amen. And your promises are true, God. And so we thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you touch the hearts of those that are struggling right now in the name of Jesus. In whatever, Lord God, they're struggling, God, I pray that you touch their hearts right now, God, and give them hope. Let joy, Lord God, in their heart, even now, God. Let joy, Father God, cause them to encounter you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Cause joy, Lord God, to make them smile, Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. Cause joy, oh God, to wrap them in your arms, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, that you may have your way to now, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes,
and touch the hearts of those back here. Yes, in Jesus' Lord. Name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, last Sunday, and thank you so much, husband, for the wonderful introduction.
Amen.
And last Sunday, we heard from Elder Mark, and he shared knowing your position. Mm. Hopefully, you guys still have a little remembrance of what that was about. He talked about the mall directory, you are here. And he basically said that, you know, when he goes to the mall, he looks at the directory, he's trying to find a toy store. So he finds, this is when he was little, not now. Not now, but he would try to find the toy store on the directory. And once he found it, his mom would then take him by the hand and they would go to the toy store. But that was his position. So he got to the mall. That was his focus. The word of God is your life directory. Definition of position is a place where someone or something is located or has been put. And the biblical definition is a person's position is their legal standing with God, which is based on their faith in Christ. When you gave your life to the Lord through salvation, you became a new person. Your position changed. Your old life has been made new, and you don't live in that place or position anymore. And a lot of times we still find ourselves in that old place. Mm-hmm. When situations rise, we forget our position. We forget where God has positioned us in that moment. And we tend to reflect on the old person. We tend to sometimes go back to that old person. We react out of that old person. But when you say yes to the Lord, when you receive your salvation, God created you to a new creature. And so you don't have to live there. You don't have to frequent there. You don't have to visit there. Leave your old man behind. And now that you know your position. Some of you still may not know your position. That means you have to ask the Father. I can't tell you what your position is. But it is your responsibility to ask him, and he will show you. And now that it has been brought to your attention, don't act like you don't know. You know, a lot of times we play dumb, like, oh, I didn't know that. Yes, you did, because I told you. Just like when a parent tells their children something, and then the child does it anyway, they're like, oh, no, you didn't say that. I didn't know. Yes, you did. You're playing dumb right now. Mm-hmm. You do know what I said, but in that moment, you know, sometimes we just want to do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And then when the consequence comes, we're just like, I'll take my consequence. But I wanted to do that at that moment because that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. That was your position at that moment. It wrong, disobedient, rebel, whatever it was, that was your position at that moment. So definition of engage is to participate or become involved. To become involved in, cause someone to become involved in a conversation or a discussion. So, you know, we have many discussions with our spouses, our children at work, in school, wherever it may be, and we engage with people. So somebody may be sharing a testimony with you. You're going to engage with that person. You're going to engage with them in conversation. You want that person to know that you're listening. And have you ever been talking to someone and you can tell they're not listening, like their mind is so far somewhere else, but you can kind of tell because you'll say something and they won't say anything. You're like, did you hear what I just said? Oh no. Oh yeah. I heard what you, what did I just say? I've done that to Mark before, because sometimes he's talking and my mind is so far disengaged, but I'm acting like I'm listening.
Yeah.
Until he says, "Are you listening?" What did you just say? Like, you were listening to me. Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm not doing it on purpose. It's just that sometimes we have moments where we disengage, and it's not on purpose. It's just that the heaviness of life is upon you at that moment. And you just aren't focusing. You're focusing in on that situation that you know that you have to deal with. Knowing your position is vital. And it is vital because you don't want to be out of position. You don't want to be in someone else's position. You want to make sure that you are in the position that God has designed for you. Your position keeps you connected to God, and he is the one who can reveal it to you. And once he reveals it to you, you must then become involved. Engage in conversation with God about what your position is and what he is requiring of you. I think that sometimes we feel like God has given us a position that's too hard. And so we're looking at what it is that God has given us. I'm like, God, I can't accomplish that. I can't do that. And you're saying that because you're trying to do it in your own strength. You're trying to do it outside of what he has already given you. So when that happens, you just have to refocus. Don't make it about you. Don't look at what you don't have. God will give you all the resources that you need.
That's right.
When he reveals the position to
That's
you.
Right.
Be obedient to what he tells you to do, even if you don't understand it. So many times we're trying to understand things. When it doesn't make sense to us, we kind of like brush it off. But a lot of times God is going to do some things that we don't understand. You have to trust his plan.
That's right.
We try to make sense of what God is doing without asking him for clarity. How many times has that happened?
Yes.
We're trying to make sense of different things. We're trying to make sense of it in up here.
Mm-hmm.
And what you know, or what you think you know, and what God thinks and you know is different from us.
That's right.
His level of thinking is different from ours. Because we think down here and he thinks up here. And I think that when God calls us to a position, we look at ourselves like in the mirror and we say that I can never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God choose me to be a pastor? Why would God choose me to be a prophet? Or an evangelist or a teacher or an apostle? And I think that sometimes then we minimize who God has called us to be.
Jesus.
And God just wants us to know that no matter what we've done in our life, he forgives us. We don't always have to like make ourselves feel so less than because we come from royalty. So we don't have to feel less than.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And when we try to minimize ourselves and we try to like compare ourselves to other people, then we lose focus because comparison will steal what God has for you. Like you'll be looking at, I'm looking at trying to compare myself to my husband when God didn't design me to give examples like he does.
Mm-hmm.
Or God didn't design me to, like he has this gift where he can just engage with just anybody. And that's not me. And at first, I kind of felt a little awkward, but I'm like, okay, sometimes we do have to move out of our comfort zones when deemed necessary, but at the same time, I'm not going to try to be like him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if God speaks to me and tell me to say something, I'm going to say it. So he has this gift of where he can just engage with anybody. And I admire that about him.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday, we was out and we stopped at Starbucks and I was sitting in the car and he gets back in the car and he was like, I just prayed with these two ladies. He was like, he was just, they were talking about something and he said, well, can I pray for you? And the lady was like, yes. So he's in there praying for two ladies and he comes back in the car and he's so excited that, you know, he prayed with these ladies and I'm sitting there. I didn't say this to him, but I'm sitting there like, I admire him so much because he can just evangelize. He can pray with some me. I'm going to size you up for a minute. And then I'm going to keep asking God, is this, are you telling me to say this to that person? Is it that person, Lord? Oh, and then my heart starts beating really, really heavy. Like you can hear my heart beating and I can hear my heart beating. And I'm like, Lord, I can't. And when I get to that moment, and when I don't do it in the moment pass, it's like, I really was supposed to say something to that person.
Yeah.
And then I feel bad. But we can't stay in that place. We can ask God for forgiveness. And then the next time when you get that feeling in your belly or somewhere, you get this feeling and you know God is telling you to say something, do something, don't say something.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times we ignore it because we're not sure if it's him or not. Use the spiritual gifts and the talents that God has given you. Don't compromise. The world and the enemy will come after your gifts.
Mm.
Use wisdom in what you say yes to.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Use wisdom in what you say yes to. And so, you know, some people, you know, Apostle always tells you the spiritual gifts. And I don't think we then do anything with it. We just know what it is. And then that's what we do with it. We just know. We don't engage it. Just know. And so, again, it's when God calls you to a position, again, he has to reveal it to you. But if you know, and you know that, let's just say you are the teacher and you're not teaching, God is going to hold you accountable for that. If you are a prophet, and you know that God is speaking through you, but you're so scared that you never open your mouth. But it was a word that your brother or sister needed, and you didn't open your mouth because you were so afraid. Fear will cause you to be quiet all the time. All the time. And while we are being quiet, the enemy is like, hey, I know she's not going to say anything because she's so scared of people. She's so intimidated. She's so worried about what people think about her. And so I don't have to worry about her because I know she's not going to say anything. So he's not really messing with you. But for those of us that open our mouths when God tells us to say whatever it is that he tells us to say, and just because everybody's not a prophet, okay? Let's just say that. Everybody's not a prophet, but everybody is prophetic. You can speak prophetically. God can speak prophetically through CJ, through Atara, through Hoya, through all our children. God can speak prophetically through. And I think there are many times when God has spoken to our children, and it didn't come out the way that we thought it should sound. And so it's like, who's you talking to? Like, you're not talking to me. In transparency, I did that to my own child. Wow. You know, he would say stuff, and I'm like, oh, sorry. You're not talking to me. Who are you talking to? I'm the adult, you're the child. Be quiet. But thinking back now, it's like, really was saying some prophetic stuff, but because it sounded like smart mouth, you know, I missed it. But that should have been trained. Instead of me taking it personally, it should have been trained the right way. And so when we hear our kids telling us stuff, and we think that I'm an adult, you're the child, you're supposed to be what seen and I heard, that was the same.
Yeah.
There is a way to challenge that. There is a way to nourish that. There is a way to allow that to grow, because in those moments, I think God is showing us who our children are spiritually. But when we have that, it sounds like smart mouth, you know, us as adults and as parents, we don't want to hear it because we feel like you're being smart mouth. But that's the child's way of saying. And even for myself, when I was little, I had to have the last word. That was it. That was all. And to my parents, it sounded disrespectful. Because when they tell you to be quiet, be quiet. But I'm still talking. I'm like, I just want you guys to hear me. What I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to be smart. I want you to hear what I'm saying. But again, as parents, we hear what we hear. And we need to go back to God and say, okay, God, what was it that my child was trying to say? An example of position is a wrestling match. I don't know how many of you all have seen a real wrestling match, not WWE. So wrestling is a martial art and combat sport that involves grappling with an opponent and striving to obtain a position of advantage through different throws or techniques within a given rule set. So, you know, you're trying to get your opponent to basically try, you're trying to get their shoulders to meet the floor, where it's like you're pinning them down to the point where they can't move. And when we look at that position is like, I can't move, I'm stuck. And that's when you know you won that I guess it's called the round or that match or whatever it is. But at that time, it's like you know your position, you know you're sizing up your opponent. You're trying to see how you're going to get them down on the floor and get them just to be still so that you can win that match. And I think that sometimes even in life, when we look at our situations, we have to size up our situations. We have to see what our position is in that situation. And we have tools. We have tools that we can use in order to defeat that situation. But rarely do we really use them. We become defeated. Jacob wrestles with Goliath. This is Genesis 32, verses 22 through 33. And hold on. That reads, the same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. But you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel not eat the of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob on the sending of the thigh. So even in this scripture, we see that Jacob wrestled with God, and Jacob basically said, you know, I'm not going to leave until you bless me. And then when he talked about the hip being dislocated, I think in those times when we go through certain things, it could be a situation like that. Mm-hmm. When we wrestle with God and something that we may not want to deal with took place. And so what did we say? God, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? But it could all be for a good cause. Mm-hmm. But we look at suffering like it's this really bad thing. Mm-hmm. But God uses the suffering for our good.
He uses
it for our growth. He uses it to be able to minister to other people. Suffering is not always a bad thing.
Yes.
Although it's happening to us, mm-hmm. it's not for us.
Yes.
It's to be able to minister to somebody else.
Yes.
And when we meet that somebody else, mm-hmm. we get it. It's like, oh, okay, I want to do this because I was supposed to meet this person that I'm ministering to now. Jacob wrestles with an angel. That's Hosea 12, verses 3 through 5. And it reads, in the womb, he took his brother by the heel, and in his manhood, he strove with God. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial name. So again, he wrestled again.
Mm-hmm.
He wrestled again. Sometimes wrestling, maybe not so much physical, but wrestling with certain things is something that we have to deal with. Something that we have to not look at as, again, a bad thing. And so I'll ask you, what or who are you wrestling with? What or who are you wrestling with? Identify your opposition or opponent and get into position. Get into position. What do you do when you are wrestling with God? Do you surrender? Do you disobey? Do you rebel? Or do you run? Use what God has given you. Don't be idle. We miss out on what God is showing us because it doesn't look like what we imagine. Let's just think, if God gave us everything that we imagine, we would be just in a mess, because we imagine so much stuff.
Right. Listen.
We imagine stuff that we want.
Yeah.
Like, we imagine a big house. We imagine a nice car. We imagine all this money. We imagine all these friends and being on top and being self-made and all that other stuff. That's what we imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But all that stuff is not always good for us.
Yes.
That's right. Right.
That's right.
So when we go to God and we ask for these things, or we go to God with our own agenda, but sometimes God answers our prayer, but not in the way that you imagined it.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's not in the way that you imagined it, you just
disregarded. I don't want that. But God protects us from so much stuff, things seen and unseen. And we should rejoice over that. And not be upset with God because we don't have everything that we want. God is not a genie. He's not going to give us everything that we want.
That's right.
It's not have it your way when I want it to be my way.
Yeah.
And although some of those things may hurt because you wonder why me. And that's our humanness. That's our human part. That's what we go through. God, why me? Why did I have to suffer through this? You know, even when I had my cosmetic surgery last year and I went through what I went through with I didn't really talk about this. I'll say it. Like, my skin was open. My whole abdomen area was open. And I had to get... I had a wound back. I had to get it changed like every 3 days a week. They had to take the dressing off and put new dressing on. And when I tell you the pain of taking the dressing off, so it was like they had to pull the dressing out of the wound. And it was like I had a prescription for Dilaudid. That's like one of the most heavy pain meds that you could take.
Yes.
I could still feel it. Carrying around that wound back with the noise of it. And I would ask God, why? Like, out of all the people that do this, who? Why me? Like, why did this happen to me?
Yes.
And to be honest, I didn't consult God first. I didn't ask him, should I do this, Lord? I wanted what I wanted. And so I'm not saying that God caused it, but if I would have asked God, he would have told me, daughter, I don't think that that's right for you. And to be honest and transparent, knowing me, I wanted it so bad, I probably still would have ignored him. Anyway. I'm just being transparent, okay? Because it's like when you get something in your head that you want to do for you, nobody and nothing can stop you.
Jesus.
But what I did not do is become depressed in the situation. Yes, I had my moments where I didn't want to talk to anybody. I had my moments where I'm trying to figure out, God, why? Why? Like, why? Like, everybody else has done this. Why? And so in my moments of being depressed, in my moments of asking God why, in my moments of wanting God to take that pain away, like, it's a pain that is indescribable, you guys. Like, I wanted to die. Every time I had to go back to that place, I was like, God, please, can you just... Like, I wanted to die, to be honest. But my position, I had to remember that even though bad things happen to us, God is still in need of us. So we can't just tap out. No matter how bad we want to tap out, we can't tap out. So, Jacob took his brother by the heel. He strove with the angel and prevailed. There the angel touched Jacob's hip socket and put it out of joint. That divine wounding of Jacob made him into a new man, Israel. So his name got changed from Jacob to Israel. Jacob met God at Bethel when he complied with God's command, and God reassured Jacob of his former promises. So I had to remember God's promises. I couldn't let that situation steal God's promises from me. And so no matter how bad the situation was, I had to remember that God still needs me. You know, I am still worthy. Yes,
yeah.
I made a mistake.
Yes.
No, God, I didn't consult you, but guess what? God's not mad at me.
Yes,
that's right.
I asked God for forgiveness. God's not mad at me. God still loves me, even in, you know, me not asking for permission. Because even in things like that, we don't think to ask God for permission. But truth be told, from the way that it,
I never got an infection, y'all.
Amen.
Like,
wow.
Like, I could have died. Jesus. Like, ask Mark. Like, it was heavy on him because he had to help change my wounds, my bandages and stuff. When I think about the goodness of God, when I think about the goodness of God.
Yes.
When I think about the goodness
of God. Yes.
Knowing that he spared from a decision that I made, he still kept me.
Yes.
He still kept me. So just because we make bad decisions, that does not stop God from loving you.
That's right.
That does not stop God from taking care of you. That does not stop God from from keeping his promises that he's made to you. So don't be hard on yourself about things that you did or you didn't do. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't minimize yourself. Don't say, well, God's not going to bless me because I did A, B, and C. God loves us unconditionally.
Yes.
The love that we give to one another is not the same love that God shows us. Right. And I thank God for that. Because if it was, like, a lot of us would be lost. A lot of us would be hurting more than we're already hurting.
Yeah.
And so, again, when I think about the goodness of God,
thank you.
Some scriptures on position. 2 Chronicles 20:17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Exodus 14:13-14. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. I love that last part of the scripture. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. He will fight for you. And sometimes we can't be silent because we want to say what we want to say. We want to get that person back. We can't be silent because if I'm silent, that means you got over on me. That means you got the upper hand. That means that I didn't win. Mm-mm.
That's right.
If we just follow what he says.
That's right.
Amen.
If we just follow what he says and stop trying to be.
Yeah, well.
The answer.
Yeah. Stop trying to. One up. Stop trying to have the last word. Stop trying to make somebody see that you're right. Like, we spend so much time in that part, in that pool. Yes, it is. And you're right. It's a cycle that we keep going around and around and around. But if you be silent, you be silent and watch God fight for
Jesus.
You.
Amen.
Be silent and watch God fight.
Yes.
Because back to my child, I'm sorry, Chris, if I'm putting you on the spot. But even when he was in high school, every time my cell phone rang, I would cringe because I just knew it was the school. So I would. This is what I would do. My phone would be ringing. I would be like the. Because I just knew it was the school. And it was the school.
And it was the school.
It was the school. And so, because I already knew how my child was, I was not going in that school all rah-rah, like ready to fight somebody. Because, you know, I know how my son was. So, I wasn't one of them parents that was rah-rah at the school. You're not going to say that to my son. My son didn't have My son is innocent because he wasn't. So for me to go up there and act like that doesn't make sense. So there was times I had to be silent.
Yes.
Right? Because there were times when I knew, you know, he did what they probably said he did. And there were times where it wasn't.
Right.
But because when you know your children, You know your children.
That's right.
And so you can't always be on the defensive in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because then at that point, they're going to write you off because it's like, no matter what that child does, the parent going to believe everything they say. So what is the point
mm-hmm.
of even caring anymore?
Yeah.
Because it's not making a difference. Mm-hmm. The child still want to do what he or she wants to do. So, again, let the Lord fight for you and you be solid. Yes. It doesn't mean that you are weak.
Right. Man.
Again, that being solid does not mean you are weak.
Man.
Okay?
That's right.
Because if my God said he's going to fight for me, if I am silent, guess what? I'm going to be silent.
Yeah. That's
okay,
right.
Say what you want to say.
Because
right. my God is fighting for me. You better. Yeah.
Yeah.
You better put on the full armor. You better do something. Because my Father is fighting for me.
Man.
Exodus 3:21-22. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Even in that, he protected.
Yes.
2 Peter 3:17-18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. When I think about this scripture, I think about those that started out in Christ. Like, they were so on fire for Christ.
Mm.
Like, every, you know, ministering to people, even when it came to the singers, the gospel singers, on fire for Christ. And recently, I was listening to my Pandora station, and it was playing, like, the older song. And when I listened to the older song versus the new song, they totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, the new songs... mainly about the person and not Christ anymore.
Jesus.
Like, they're no longer centered on Christ. It's mm-hmm. centered on the person that's on the stage.
Yeah.
It's centered on what God can do for me and what I want from God
mm-hmm.
versus when the gospel singers were truly singing to Christ, where they were truly pouring their hearts out to Christ. And now when you think about gospel music, to me it just looked like entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a concert. Yes. And it doesn't look like they're no longer worshiping Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful again with your gifts and your talents, because the world again will come after them.
That's right.
The world will want you to compromise and turn your back on Christ
mm-hmm.
because he does not want you to fulfill the promise that God has on your life. He does not want you to be a part of God's camp. He wants you to stay with him. And if you ever notice that when a person shifts from the enemy's camp yes. to the Lord's camp, you see there's like a heavy warfare for the person that's now deciding, oh, I want to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're like, okay, this is really heavy. What should I do? And sometimes people don't have people to talk to that's when right. that warfare
yes.
happens. And so some people go back to the other side like because that. It's just yeah. easier,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have all of that when they were on the enemy side.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have all that warfare. But as soon as they decided to follow Christ, here comes the warfare. And yeah. and listen, it's not so much the warfare from God. It's warfare to cause you to change your
that's
mind
right.
and come back.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's what it is. Like, if I can bombard her or him with so much stuff, they'll just come back.
Jesus.
Because they felt like when I was on the enemy side or I wasn't living for Christ, I didn't have so much warfare. I didn't go through so much stuff. And and that's how the enemy tricks and deceives
yes,
us
yes,
as well,
yes.
because he wants you to not know the goodness of God. He doesn't want you to know, you know, that you can be healed and set free and delivered and live a new life in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as long as he can keep dangling the worldly things before you, he knows that he can keep you in that place on his side.
Amen.
And then, you know, sometimes we bring other people with us as well. So in conclusion, your position in Christ happens as a result of your new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. The Christian position is perfect and complete. It has nothing to do with success or accomplishments. It's based solely on the merit of Christ. Don't get caught up in your success and your accomplishments, because none of that stuff can go through that. No money, no cars, no status, none of that. Yes, if you might like it, wow, it can't go with you to heaven. And it's not going to speak on your behalf.
That's right.
You're standing before the Father. Our position never changes. We will forever remain unmoved. We must believe the word of God. He is the only one that can reveal our position to us. Do not compromise and forget your position in Christ. Okay? Not compromise and forget your position in Christ. Know your position, engage your position, and live in his
spirit. Yes, yes.
Y'all, we are defeated people.
Hallelujah.
Situations may look that way, but we are not a defeated people. We come from royalty, therefore we cannot live in defeat.
Yes.
Our situations may not be what we want them to be, but we cannot live in defeat.
Amen.
We cannot walk around like, you know, woe is me. I just want people to know that God is good.
Yes.
And my CJ sings that song, God is good. CJ?
You know that's
you want to say God is good? See for me. It's always on. Always on, kids. But my CJ sings this song, God is good. God is good. God is good.
I'm not saying that.
Okay. It's okay, because when I hear him sing it, it's innocent.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it brings joy to my heart, because even my grandbaby knows that God is good.
Mm-hmm.
He even knows that God is good. And I just thank God that even through the things that we suffer through, that He is still good.
Yeah,
and His goodness never changes.
Jesus,
no matter where we find ourselves in a moment. God is good.
Yes.
And
yes,
we have to remember that and break ourselves out of the cycles that it's like we keep going around and around and around. Like, when are you going to get off the roller coaster?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, has it upset your stomach enough that now you want to get off the roller coaster? Like, know that God is for us.
Yes,
He
yes.
is with us wherever we go. In our position, our position will keep us grounded, knowing who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't know who you are in Christ, begin to talk to God. Begin to have that conversation with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Even you, y'all are old enough. Y'all not too young to know what your position in Christ is. But y'all got to talk to God about that.
Mm-hmm.
And when God shows you, don't be afraid
to
be who He called you to be. That peer pressure in school, I know that is heavy. I know that we see so many about other children doing stuff that they have no business doing at all. And we also have to remember that a lot of these kids these days don't have parents. Like, their parents may be in the house, but they don't talk to them, or they try to be their best friend, or they somewhere strung out high or drunk or something, and they just don't pay their kids no attention. And our kids go to the same schools with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids see that those kids have no rules, no accountability, no responsibility, and our kids want the same thing, because they think it's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it that I got... But Jamie don't have rules.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie can come in a house whatever time Jamie wants to come in. But although in our young minds, we think it's so unfair, what we don't realize in our young minds is that these kids have no direction, no love, nobody to teach them right from wrong. And so although it may look fun, when they go home, it's probably a terrible situation.
Yes.
A terrible, horrible situation. Yes. No lights, no water,
no food.
Yeah. And so what we don't see when people go home,
That's
what we don't see.
Yes.
We don't see when people go home, but we have to be the difference. We have to make the difference. We have to know our position in Christ so we can minister to those,
amen,
those children. So we can minister to those adults who were once those children that are now grown and are lost because they did not get what they needed from their parents or loved ones. So I thank you all. And I really hope that, you know, knowing your position and engaging your position, now you'll do something about it. You'll seek God for your position. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you. To God be the glory. Amen. What an awesome word.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but a lot of things came to mind. Obedience, wisdom, and knowing your position. And I want to say thank you. And I'm going to have Rodney. I should have called him and told him to get online. I'm going to be transparent. He's been struggling. He's been coming to church online, and he did come to church the second Sunday at Abba's house. Mm-hmm. But he, too, who is turning to God, the enemy is trying to steal his joy. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle. It's a battle. And he has to learn and know his position. And right now, that's hard. So I thank you, my son, number one, for just... He calls him every morning at 9:30, and that's holding him accountable and helping him to understand what his position is as he continues to seek God. So thank you for the reminder. I'm going to you first because you spoke first. Thank you. And thank you, daughter. Awesome word. Let's give up some prayer.
Thank you.
You all know what time it is, right?
Offering
time. Amen. To those of you online, it's offering time, and I'm just going to lift up our offering prayer. As we receive today's offering, and if you believe it, just pull it down. Just reach for it, because I'm reaching for it. To God see the glory. I'm struggling with the finances, so I'm reaching for it. Hallelujah. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord without doubt for jobs and better jobs, stolen money return, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, real estate and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail. Come on, checks. Divine health and healing. For those of you who are struggling with your health, divine health and healing. Family members and friends saved. That's my entire family just about. Checks in my hand, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessings and increase, new businesses. Or new business. I need some new business. I need some work. I need some jobs to come through. Thank God for our church building. We ought to praise God right now. Thank God for our church building. Hallelujah, for our church building.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. For those of you who may not know where our website is in order to give, it's online. Please visit New Vision for Life. Go and give. And for those of you who do not have, and sometimes I have, and sometimes I don't have, but God is a good God. God is awesome, and God continues to provide even when I'm not able to give. So just continue to give. Amen. We have two announcements. I know Apostle mentioned that on the 31st, we were going to be online or in our church building for the New Year's Eve service. We're not doing that. Abba's house is going to have the Festival of Lights, and it starts at 7
7 p.m.
Tickets are $12, okay? And I understand it's going to be really nice. They're going to have different stations and events and dancing. And it's supposed to be nice. Sure. Those of you who can show up 7 p.m., tickets $12. Here is the blessing. Here is the joy. I don't know about you guys, but I am truly excited. We will be transitioning into our new building on January the 5th. January the 5th, we're going to be celebrating and sharing in the service with Pastor Michelle. And that ministry is Woodlawn Christian Fellowship. And so they're going to be transitioning out. And we're going to be transitioning in.
Yes.
What a joy and what a blessing. It's going to be very important that we show up and show off.
Yes.
Okay. I've already started. You know what I mean when I say show off. Don't act ugly, but have a good time praising God.
Yeah.
I've already invited a lot of folk. I'm just hoping that they're going to show up. I'm trying to get my family there. A total apostle, and I'm going to shut up in a minute.
Okay.
I have two grandchildren, great grandchildren, that's not used to attending church because when they were born, it was during the COVID. And so I'm not sure they know how to be still and sit in church without being loud. And so I said to Apostle, she said, don't even worry about it. Bring them because they have to learn.
That's right.
So please invite folk to come out on the 5th at 11 a.m. And I'm going to encourage all of us. Service doesn't start at what time? 11:03. Let's be on time. God wants us to be on time. And I know sometimes it's just hard when you have kids. So I get it. I understand. It's a challenge. I get it. But those of us who do not have kids and all, let's try to be there on time. Amen.
Amen.
I'm done.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.